You're listening to Face Off, episode 114, recorded March 28th, 2011. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm your other host, Mark Sanborn.
In this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can view our show notes by going to faceoffshow.com. All right, so here we are, Mark. We had to cut it. Normally, I don't like to do this. So I guess we should explain to our listeners what happened. Usually we record interviews first. We record the interview first, and then we kind of base our content on how long the interview is. Like the interview, ends up being short. We'll do other content. The end up being long. We'll just make them one whole show. Well, with Vasily, we actually screwed up and just recorded everything except for the topic first.
Well, I'm kind of there to blame a little bit because I did the time daylight savings stuff calculations wrong, and I figured we were recording at 7:30 and it ended up being at 9:30. So we figured we better get the news and follow-ups and geek stuff.
Yeah. So it ended up, we had a good long interview with him, and so we want to continue with this episode. So to preface it, this is Vasily Maizin. He is a user interface user experience expert from Los Angeles. He is currently working for what is the company he's working for now?
Mingli.
Mingli. What does Mingli do? I'm drawing a huge blank here.
They basically make a CRM.
Right.
But it's kind of a personal management approach.
Right.
It goes on top of Gmail.
Totally. So yeah, it goes on Gmail and kind of combines everyone's social connections and whatnot, so that when you look at an email in Gmail, you can get all the contextual information from those. He also was a team member of was it LA Startup Week, the team Zarly, which ended up winning, and now has actually turned on to be a whole new company. Vasily's not with them, but he was part of the team that originally did this LA Startup Weekend with Zarly, which was a team that did very well. So without further ado, let's continue our interview with Vasily Maizin.
Other than feature creep, what are some of the other UI problems that you've seen? What are some of the big common ones you see around?
Big UI problems. I think sometimes people overlook the medium and they apply certain UI conventions to platforms that at their core have their own signature and their own style. So if you make an iPhone application and port it to Windows Phone 7 and Android just the way it is, I think it's sort of a downside. It's a sort of a lazy way to port and convert user interfaces to various platforms. I think you need to keep in mind that every platform was designed with a certain style and certain direction in mind. So I think. I think the problem is that people sometimes disregard the guidelines that the platform manufacturer suggests, and so that's one of the main problems. Not the main problems, but something that comes to mind right away. People oftentimes who are responsible for user experience, user interface, they fail to put themselves in the shoes of their users and generally people get so carried away, and professionals working on applications get carried away with the functionality and features that they sort of forget to take a step back and try to experience the flow of the apps they're working on, on their own.
Yeah, that's so hard to do too. It's when you're so invested in it, that to try and step back and look at it as someone who isn't so invested in it is so difficult.
absolutely. And then the user testing, you know, comes to the rescue. So I'm a big fan of Steve Krug and Clear Left, for example. It's a usability, user experience agency in England. These guys, they sort of preach this doctrine, that you don't need, lots of resources, lots of money to spend to get some basic user testing done. You know, you get three people down the hallway, pull them in, or you just walk into a Starbucks or something, and then just ask random people, like, well, can I, buy you a coffee in exchange for 5 minutes of your time, and could you please answer this five simple questions, and please try and register here, click that button over there and tell me what do you think about the response and what happens here, and do you understand what happens here, do you understand the purpose of this all, and 5 minutes with like 3, 4, 5 people will give you enough work for the next month, because you will realize that things that you thought were obvious are not obvious at all to everyone else. So I think this is something that if you're a serious startup or company or agency, it's sort of a crime not to do some basic user testing, because you're putting something out there that you might be convinced is usable and beautiful and great. But, the first time someone tries to use it, they have no idea how to, get past the registration screen.
Yeah, I like your idea of, like kind of hallway testing, but coffee shop testing. I would never have thought of that, like to go talk to people. But you're right. That's a totally, random consumer. Buy them a cup. If someone asked me for 5 minutes of my time, bought me a cup of coffee, I'd probably sit and do whatever I wanted.
And you feel special. You feel important. And these test subjects, they ask, well, did I do anything wrong? Was it everything cool? You tell them, well, your input was amazing. It opened our eyes on so many things. Thank you very much. And of course, they feel good about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's impossible for them to do anything wrong. In fact, everything they do is right. So, yeah. if you could give, sort of one piece of advice, and you kind of touched on this already, I think I know what you might say. Advice for a UI UX design, what would that one piece of advice be?
I'm tempted to say that, part of my previous answer is in there, test your UI, earlier, before you put something out. I think UI people, or UX people for this matter, need to get comfortable with all the pieces of that user experience is comprised of, and learn enough CSS and HTML and JavaScript and get enough knowledge about prototyping and wireframing, and not just be the idea people, and sort of be able to not only talk about user experience, but also prototype it and make something usable to get the message across. Because it just seems like the UX discipline is kind of undefined at this point. I mean, it's defined to some people, but a lot of people kind of like the sound of it. It has a nice flavor to it. So people just jump on it and claim that they are proficient user experience people, and then I think people just need to just learn direct and drive the user experience development process competently, that's what comes to mind, but it's a complex discipline, you just need to get your feet wet in all the overlapping fields.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I don't think it's funny because I don't think it's a lot of the same techniques you apply to sort of coding the back end and stuff. I think can be applied. Like you're talking about testing. Well, okay, you know, it's very difficult to do sort of, you know, unit tests, but test, right? Get as much data as possible and really look at it and try and figure out how you want to proceed and don't just, you know, be a half into it. You really got to try and, I mean, like where I know where I've been around. User interface, a lot of times they're not the more powerful personality. So it really sort of falls to the side looking at how the people actually interact with this really cool backend that you built. And I think that, you know, really making sure that stays in the forefront, you know, that it doesn't matter what you build in the back. If people can't easily and quickly understand it, you know, how they actually interact with it, it's worthless.
Yeah. Well, just a metaphor came to mind just now. User experience is like bread and sandwich. You know, it's at the top and at the bottom. You know, and in the middle you have meat, which is the back end, and cheese, which is the front end. So you really need to start with user experience, and then, you know, end with it, and put the final polish in it with user experience.
Yeah,
and a lot of work happens in between. You know.
Yeah,
exactly. Is there a general workflow with UI? I mean, do you start with like a wireframe and then go to another step, or is it kind of just?
I think I prefer to define use cases at first, you know, and have come up with like 2, 3, 4, 5 different use cases, and including some edge cases, like what's the extreme situation, you know, for the use of this app, what's the regular situation, then this kind of gives the idea of what it could look like in theory, and then sometimes I would proceed to notebook and pencil and just scribble something on it. Sometimes I bypass that and go straight to wireframing, and it helps to collaborate. And when you wireframe, and I find it helpful to be with someone in the same room or on Skype as I'm going through, you know, the steps of how, you know, the user interface flow is gonna be, so using one of the popular, you know, wireframing tools. I mean, my preference is OmniGraffle from Mac. Comes with lots of useful presets and templates. So you're just kind of start throwing buttons and toggles and form elements on screens, and kind of, you know, I like to also describe what everything does on the side on the same screen, and after that that goes to the developer, say backend developer for some feedback, and also, the same wireframes go to the designer, which oftentimes I am the designer.
Send an email to yourself.
Yeah, you know, and it's good to get some feedback from the backend person early on, you can sort of gauge like what's possible, what's not, and what can be used. You know, like what can be implemented using Ajax, what can be implemented using full page reload, what the database architecture would be like based on the table presented in the wireframes. You know.
Do you usually make kind of large changes and then see how the users react, or kind of try to make smaller UI changes and test it with a few people, or kind of a mixture of both?
Well, smaller seems like a more kind of common sense type of approach. You know, if you make something really big and drastic, you know, people can get mad and you know, threaten you. You know, stop using the app. You kind of want to roll out your changes incrementally and probably test like beta version of your app before you make it an official release. People, even if you choose the path of like whatever you felt was right at the beginning and you implemented it, you know, people get used to that. So if you make something better, that doesn't necessarily seem better to the users, you know, because they're so used to how it was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think Facebook is like really showing this right now, how they like, sometimes they're doing it, like in applying real subtle changes, sometimes really drastic changes, and you can see like heated threads.
Either way, yeah, exactly. Even if it's huge or it's tiny, like they're like, bring back the old Facebook app page. And you're like,
what? Right. Okay. I don't like the black background.
Yeah, they're a victim of their own success. So I'm going to switch a little bit over from UI UX stuff to sort of, you know, we have a lot of people that listen that are sort of freelance, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, but we have some questions for you because, you know, you have your own sort of freelance company, but you also work at startups and whatnot. So, you know, like when you're part of a team, like where you're working at the startup you're at now, how does that feel like building your own product versus doing work for a client? How's that experience? I guess it doesn't have to feel.
It's pretty different. Yeah, I mean the big difference is that with a client, you sort of kind of bounce ideas off each other. You can define the scope, outline everything, make that final in its true sense. You know, document that outlines all the pieces of functionality in UI, and you kind of you build this based on the specs that you both agreed upon. When you work for a startup, you know, that has multiple customers around the world, you know it's very fluid. You know, it can go you know either way. You know, you get feedback instantly. You know, you get early adopters. You get people who send you suggestions and criticize or support your efforts. It feels more like a collaborative process when you work on a project that is, public facing in the sense of, a service or web app. When you work for a client, even if it's something that is a startup-like project, you don't get that feedback. You kind of just get the feedback from the client, and they're not usually, the most informed people. They're not the people with the highest sense of UI aesthetics and how things should work. They're not looking out for the interests of their customers or necessarily. So that's the main difference to me. And also, of course, it's the client work is limiting because you sign off on the. I mean, they sign off on the design and the scope. You deliver it, and usually the relationship ends there. Or you get back to that project. You improve upon it like a year later or something when the client realizes that something needs to be fixed because somehow their users couldn't find that button for 6 months. I think it's time to fix it.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And the startup is more sort of fast paced and iterative,
real time. You get feedback instantly. There's lots of services to collect feedback. And you just sort of see what the trends are. You know, it's kind of like, the 37 signals way. They say we don't pay attention to feedback, but if we start noticing a certain trend, then we fix that or implement a feature that just won't go away. People keep reminding us about it.
All right, so we're bumping up on time. So just to close out, you got to go to South by Southwest, which if you're in the web. Mark and I are very jealous. Well, I mean, I kind of am, but actually, one of the questions I kind of want to ask you, well, first of all, how was South by Southwest this year?
It was great. I mean, it was my second one, so I can't really compare it to the old days. And a lot of people seem to point it out. There were a few blog posts by John Gruber and Andy Budd and a few others that, the good old days are gone now. It's all popular and commercial at this point. I sure did feel that way in the sense that, you could not ignore the fact that Pepsi and Chevy and Sony were there, you know, and with big stages and you know, trade shows and such. Yeah, I think it's all fine. You know, I think the important stuff hasn't changed. The important aspect of it is that a lot of people, a lot of geeks, a lot of nerds, you know, come from all over the world, all over the country, and you can bump into literally like anyone, really, like all of your, you know, idols and heroes and people you look up to, people you just, you know, knew on Twitter. That are there, you know, you could just, you know, have a drink with them at a bar or go have lunch, which I've done a fair amount of that. In terms of the conference itself, I think they have up to like 15 tracks. If I'm not making this up,
that is ridiculous.
Same time. So, and you see like mobile UX, 10 principles of user experience. User experience for women, user experience that, you know, like, what should I?
Yeah.
And it all sound pretty good, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. And like, and it used to be all in this one place, Austin Convention Center in downtown. Now it's like on the other side of the river at the Sheraton and then and Hilton and then here and there and the ballroom there, ballroom here. So it's really spread out now. And I think this year for the first time, again, I might be making this up, I'm pretty sure that they made more money on the interactive part than on the music part. And wow. South by Southwest is historically the music event.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
So the nerds strike back.
So I guess, what was the coolest thing you saw? What track did you end up taking, and what were some of the cool things that you saw?
Well, a lot of my friends that came with me didn't have official, you know, credentials. They didn't have the badge. So they were sort of partying and networking all the time. So I rolled with that a little bit, and then... I was like, okay, well, wait a minute. I have a $500 badge. I got to make use of it. So I started going to panels and talks. I saw a few good ones. I saw Gary Vaynerchuk. He was really good.
So jealous. I love Gary.
Yeah. There was an interesting question from the audience at the end. Another question. This guy came up to the mic and said, well, Gary, I know you're trying to cut back on your profanity, but I've been really keeping track this time, and you had 37 F words and the 17 assholes and 5 douchebags.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very, you know, that actually added to the effect, and he was really inspirational, and yeah, I like that. There were a few ex-Apple employees. What's the one guy's name? Can't remember. Anyway, he was talking about designing ideas and not objects. I like kind of like this sort of a, you know, slightly left field topics, you know, like when they're not talking about the specifics like CSS and, you know, and JavaScript. They were, you know, I like when they're talking about making people feel good about the product, you know, and how you, you know, concentrate on feedback and, you know, iterate and stuff like that. Yeah. I got to see the panel with Aaron Putzer, who is the Mint.com awesome. Creator.
Awesome.
And his designer, his original designer, Jason. So that was a good one. I think it was something right like the title was Who Are the Real Rock Stars, Designers or Developers? There was no agreement there.
Oh, I bet.
But they did point out some pretty interesting things, like Facebook and Google are, you know, engineer-driven companies. You know, mm-hmm. engineers decide whether or not there's going to be a button there, and what kind of UI is going to be, you know, the third part of the application. Mm-hmm. Where like companies like Apple, you know, they're more designer-driven. You know, designers kind of set the trends and stuff like that.
Sounds like there was a lot of talks there, which is really nice. You know, the only conference Jade and I have been to so far is CES, which is not totally related to web technology. And it just seemed like a lot of, you know, booths for vendors trying to sell things, and it wasn't quite as interesting.
There's a part of that at South By. There's a trade show, which was kind of boring this year. I didn't really enjoy it. Not enough free t-shirts. I think the spirit is still there, but it really does feel like it would have been better if it was half the size. You know, it's just a bit out of control, and it could almost split up in two separate events and still be, you know, it still feel huge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that since people can actually go there without a badge and still like network and feel like productive to a point, I mean, you know, minus all the beer, is pretty amazing. I mean, it shows the sort of scope and size of this place.
Absolutely. Yeah. It almost seemed like at least a quarter of the people I've seen there had no badges, you know, especially people, you know, didn't come from overseas, you know, and people who knew what the event was about and, you know, with the experience of, coming there for, you know, a couple of years. Actually, I'm thinking about this myself next year and not get a badge. And maybe just make this shiny, VIP badge, you know, like self-proclaimed VIP in large letters, you know, with golden embedded in gold.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd get you some free drinks. All right, well,
at least get some attention. Like, oh, look at this! You're from backstage, right? Yes.
So, Vasily, we're way over time. So, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I do want to say that if you want to check out if you go to something like South by Southwest, you meet a ton of people like an Apple rep you can't remember the name of. Check out getmingly.com, which is your current project. And then also you are on Dribbble?
Yes, I recently got on Dribbble, and it's actually turned out to be a really good place to show off your skills. Totally. I started getting emails from people around the world about my UI, which is kind of unexpected. I've been wanting to get on Dribbble for a while, and finally someone hooked me up, and I guess the closed network effect pays off.
Yeah, totally. So check it out. It's at dribbble.com/Vasily. Hey, we appreciate you coming on the show. You've been a listener and a contributor to the show for a long time, so we're so happy to just be able to finally talk to you and hear your voice and hear your thoughts. We appreciate it.
Likewise. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And that is our interview with Vasily. Want to thank him for coming on the show. He is awesome. I mean, he's been a listener to the show for a long time. He's always commented and helped us out. We were totally bummed to have him on.
Yeah, definitely learned a lot. And we originally kind of thought it was, you know, going to be kind of a 15-minute interview, but we had to actually make it into two parts because it was such great content. And it's always good to hear from another developer. Or designer or UI expert, other than us just talking away. It's always good to learn from someone else. So
yeah, so
thank you, Vasily.
So I want to remind you, if you guys have someone that you think we should interview, you want to talk to, send us a message, and we'll try our hardest to get them on because we want to talk to the cool people. Thank you for listening to the show. We will see you guys next week.